Going to continue our studies in the book of Romans. And trusting the Lord will give us a little insight into the significance of circumcision. And I want to read Romans chapter 2, verses 25 through Romans chapter 3, verses 2, or verse 2. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it is fulfilled in the law, or fulfill the law, judge thee? Who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, the circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Obviously, reading these verses tells us that circumcision is profitable. And we need to understand what it means for circumcision to be profitable for us. Obviously, it's not the outward circumcision that is essential. It's the circumcision of the heart that is important. But circumcision does play a significant role in our understanding of how we need to be pleasing God. And unfortunately, today, circumcision and the law are sort of blended together. When we think about circumcision, we think about the law. And all that is incorporated in the law of Moses, ceremonial law. And so therefore, there is a bit of confusion. But I think this morning that we will be able to appreciate the value of circumcision, of the circumcision made without hands. That's the one that's important. I want to read again Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, where it says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way." That's what I want to emphasize. There is profit in circumcision, and it's much in every way. In Romans chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Jesus Christ was a minister of circumcision. For what reason? That the truth of God might be presented, that it might go forth, and to confirm the promises made to the fathers. And who are the fathers referred to here? It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and the others. In other words, there were promises made through circumcision to the fathers, and we will be looking at that this morning. We often associate circumcision with Moses. And in John 7:22 it says, "Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision." And then in parentheses it tells us, "not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers." Moses brought circumcision back to the nation of Israel when actually his wife circumcised their son, because Moses had failed to do that. And I don't have any scriptures to show that from the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that circumcision was ever practiced from that time until the day of Moses' son was circumcised when on his way back to Egypt. And so circumcision didn't come from Moses, but Moses started doing it again when the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had sort of let it go for about 430 years. Okay? Now, in Galatians chapter 2, reference is made between those that are uncircumcised and those that are circumcised. Where Paul says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter." In other words, Paul is making a distinction between the gospel of the kingdom, Paul's gospel, was to the Gentiles through Paul, as the message was to the Jews through Peter. And Paul acknowledged that, recognized that, and Paul also wanted to be his ministry to be recognized as well. Now, in Romans chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "Circumcision verily profiteth if you keep the law." I associate circumcision as something that you do after you are just. In other words, circumcision is profitable if you're just. If you're not just, circumcision doesn't do you any good. Okay? So it says, "If thou be a breaker of the law," if you're unjust, "thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." So we're not talking about necessarily the physical, we're talking about the spiritually speaking is concerned. If you're just, circumcision works. If you're unjust, your circumcision doesn't work. Okay? So there is an element of being just. And when we've been reading in Romans chapters 1 and 2, we are talking about the just shall live by faith. Circumcision is to be associated with faith. Faith. Now, it's interesting that circumcision started in Genesis chapter 17. With Abraham and his family. This is when God changed Abraham's name. It's interesting. Gospel essentially, but what I'm saying is this: God added the Hebrew letter H to his name along with Sarah's name, and H is the number 5 in the Hebrew alphabet. And 5 we associate with grace. So we find, we can say that Abraham, God added grace to Abraham in that sense. But it says in Genesis 1:17, "When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." This was the beginning of the covenant being made between Abraham and God, and sealed with circumcision. I think that it's significant that God is using His name, Almighty God. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, we have a reference to Almighty, to the Almighty, and this is Naomi saying unto her friends when she comes back home. She said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." What I associate with this Almighty God is a God of judgment. This is what He's saying. I am Almighty God. I am going to be your judge, Abram. And I want you to walk before me perfect, because I'm going to scrutinize your walk with me. And He says, walk before me. That has to do with lifestyle. That has to do with living. That has to do with attitude. That has to do with purpose. That has to do with obedience. And it also says to be perfect. Now, this does not mean Abraham was to be a sinlessly perfect or a perfect human being. This word is used in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. In other words, the perfect carries the thought of being blameless. Noah was just. And the word "and" has been added by the translators, and so therefore he just continuing or amplifying on what it means to be just. That means to be blameless before God and in his generation, and Noah walked with God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." That's the same Hebrew word as "be thou perfect." Ceremonial clean, ceremonially clean. The lamb was to be without spot, inwardly or outwardly. And so that's where God wanted Abraham to walk blamelessly in his attitude, his thoughts, his inward life, as well as his outward life, his testimony to the community. In Genesis 17, in verse 7, it says, "And I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant." And it's interesting here, the word "everlasting" in the Septuagint is age-lasting. This covenant that God is establishing with Abraham has to do with the age. And that's the millennial age. And that's when Israel will inherit their land, and that's when we will inherit our heavenly inheritance, as well as Abraham and his seed. And in other words, "after thee and their generations for an age-lasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." I think that we can associate him being their God, but we can also associate with them being their judge. He would be their judge as well. In verse 10 of Genesis 17, he says, "And this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." This is the covenant that God made with Abraham between me and you and thy seed. And it is in the it has to do with a male circumcision, outward circumcision. Now, what was that? Verse 11 tells us, "And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token." This word "token" is a sign. It's translated as a sign. It's a mark. God put a token on Cain. God put a mark on Cain. For what reason? So that people would see Cain, would know that they had better step aside. They had better not harm Cain. It was a symbol of possible judgment if you interfered with Cain. And the same thing here with this covenant that God was making with Abraham. And it's, to me, it was just something interesting, and I just put some question marks by it, where it says, "shall be a token of the covenant between you," or "me and you." He left out "and your seed." I associate the seed after Abraham being an earthly seed, where the seed between he and Abraham is a heavenly seed. But that's just speculation on my part. By the way, this is not the final word on circumcision. I'm just throwing out some things that will help you to build on later on. In verse 12 it says, "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, and he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed." It's significant that this child was to be one born in the house. And I think that's significant because of Genesis 15:3, when Abraham said to God, "Lo, one born in my house is my heir." So we associate those born in the house being heirs. And circumcision had to do with the token of Abraham and his seed's inheritance. Now, it's interesting to note here that circumcision was to be on the 8th day. Well, how many days in the week? 7. So 7 days makes a complete week. So the 8th day is a new beginning, a new week. And So circumcision and this covenant made with it as a token, this covenant made with Abraham was to be done on the eighth day, which was a new beginning for Abraham and his seed. Okay? Now, continuing in Genesis chapter 17, verse 14, it says, "And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off." If you read a little further on in the Old Testament, you find being cut off means you lose what? Your inheritance. You don't submit to the covenant of circumcision, you're cut off. You're not going to be an heir. You're not going to be as one born in the house. And you're going to be cut off from his people. "He hath broken my covenant." The word "broken" there is really, it gives a different meaning. I like the idea, you've annulled it. You have discounted it. You have discredited it. You have no value in it. You've made it none effect. You have brought it to naught as far as your life is concerned. My covenant, you are not interested in my covenant, is what it amounts to. Okay? Now, what's interesting here is that circumcision was established and instituted before the law. Even though Moses brought it back in Exodus, it was before the law. And I'm going to read Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. It says, "Then a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof." Circumcision was essential before you could eat the Passover. You had to submit to the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that covenant had to do with an inheritance and their inheritance in the land. And so therefore, circumcision was reinstituted again before the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, this was their eighth day, if you please. This is their new beginning. "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you." Circumcision, the Passover, the leaving of the land of Egypt, the eighth day. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, it says, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land." Here we see acts of faith taking place before the law. We see acts of faith taking place under the circumcision, the covenant that was made with Abraham and to his seed. And of course we know that there were no acts of faith during the wilderness wanderings, but anyway, circumcision began in Egypt, and there were acts of faith associated with that circumcision. But let's read Romans chapter 2, verse 25, to refresh our thoughts again. "For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, if you become unjust, your circumcision is made uncircumcision." Is that what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness? Absolutely. They were circumcised in the land of Egypt. They crossed over or went through the Red Sea. They got the law. And they began to break it. And what happened to their circumcision? It became uncircumcision. It was annulled. It was no good. And they were being cut off. Were they cut off? Did they enter the land flowing with milk and honey? No, they did not. They were cut off. Now, Again, I remind us that it is a circumcision of the heart. Verse 29, circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. In other words, it was in their heart that they rebelled against God. Hebrews chapter 3. Take heed, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief. Their circumcision of the heart had been turned over. You can't regrow flesh, but you can when it comes to the circumcision of the heart. So, circumcision is profitable, and very much in every way. Now, how is it profitable? How do we associate circumcision that it is profitable? In Romans chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and he says, "And he, that is Abraham, received the sign, or the token, or the mark of circumcision." And what was that token, or sign, or seal? It was the seal of the righteousness which is of faith. What do we need to associate with circumcision? The righteousness which is of faith. Circumcision and faith go together. That's the reason why circumcision profiteth if you keep the law, if you're just. If you don't keep the law, it doesn't. Circumcision doesn't help you at all. Okay? Now, he that hath yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them that believe. Present tense, present active participle. In other words, Abraham is the father of those who are being faithful to the Lord, who are believing him. They are the ones who do not have an evil heart of unbelief. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also... Now here's what I want you to get. This is what circumcision means. It's walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. What is circumcision? It's walking by faith in the steps of our father Abraham. That's what we need to associate with circumcision. Anytime you see circumcision, you need to think, one who is walking in the steps of faith. Uncircumcision, one who is not walking in the steps of faith, but in the steps of sight, in the flesh. That's the key. That verse right there, that phrase right there tells you what circumcision is. It's walking by faith. It's not a ceremonial act. It's not something that the law requires, because the law didn't require it. It was given to Abraham, and it was given to those born in his house that would be heirs. Now, and it says here, who also walked in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised, that is, in the flesh. Abraham walked by faith. Now, therefore, and what we're interested in right now is not the letter of the law. It's not the letter of circumcision. It's the spirit of circumcision. It's the circumcision or the cutting away of the heart. It's where is your heart? Now, we associate cutting off the sins of the flesh, but we also need to associate the heart that believes in the present tense. It's out of the issues of the heart. It's out of the heart that come the issues of life. Okay? So therefore, it's the circumcision that's made without hands that's important. Hebrews 2:11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. There is circumcision made by hands, and then there is a circumcision made without hands. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. In other words, baptism is a being raised to newness of life. Circumcision without hands is a life of faith, and it's a new life of faith. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 talks about being buried in baptism and raised again into newness of life. Wherefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that is, the Red Sea, the Jordan River. Remember, there are two rivers because there were two circumcisions, and we'll look at that briefly here in just a second. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, this is interesting to me. We think about the fathers of those who came out of the nation out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 15, verse 16 is a very enlightening verse. It says, "Only the Lord hath delight in thy fathers to love them." In other words, the Lord loved the fathers. But you know what? He chose their seed after them. Who were the chosen? It wasn't the fathers. It was the children or the seed after them. Now, we're not talking about Abraham. We're talking about those who came out of Egypt. He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. He is talking to the chosen. These are the ones who are going into the land. Circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Now, he's telling the children who have been chosen, you circumcise your hearts and you quit rebelling against me. This was a new beginning for whom? It was a new beginning for the kids. They were to circumcise their hearts. They did circumcise themselves in the flesh, but the Lord wanted them to circumcise their hearts. Because just being circumcised in the flesh doesn't help you heart. It's too far apart. Okay? Now, this was a new beginning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to or for an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away." New beginning for them. They were entering the land flowing with milk and honey. They were to circumcise their hearts. They were to quit being stiff-necked. And we too have a new beginning because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, for an inheritance that is undefiled, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and that who are kept by the power of God through faith. In other words, this inheritance is established if we continue what? In the faith. You make shipwreck of the faith. You start walking in uncircumcision. That inheritance is no longer there. You're not walking in the steps of faith. You have annulled the covenant. That doesn't mean you're not, this doesn't have anything to do with salvation. This has to do with rewards. Okay, I don't want to scare anybody that, you know, we're not talking about losing your salvation. We're talking about rewards. We're talking about something that's important to those who appreciate ruling and reigning with Christ. We're talking to those that it's important to have a well done, now good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, this is so all the way through the wilderness, there's no circumcision anywhere. Nobody's circumcised. Joshua 4:23. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over." And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males. Even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised. But that circumcision, by the way, became what? Uncircumcision. because of a stiff neck and a rebellious heart, a hard heart. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not circumcised. No circumcision under the law. Circumcision is not a law thing. Circumcision is a faith thing. And faith and law are not the same. You got to be faithful. You got to be obedient. But circumcision points us to faith. Now, circumcision is something that needs to be before us all the time. And I was trying to think of a way that you could establish a covenant where you wouldn't be in front of you. Like, for instance, the Lord says, now I want all the men to wear ponytails. And where would the ponytail be? It would be in the back. Now, how in the world can you see your ponytail, you know? You can't. But circumcision is something that's before you all the time. And I'm associating that with Rahab the harlot. It says, and she said, according, this is in Joshua 2:21, and she said, according to your words. Now, she's talking to the spies. He says, according to what you have said to me, be it, so be it. I'm believing you. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. The word line is a very interesting word. That Hebrew word means expectation, hope, things hoped for. It was a scarlet thread of hope. What hope? The hope to be alive, to be in the land. And that scarlet thread was there all the time. It was continually before her. And we too need to know, we too need the hope of glory where? Before us. And so to have that hope of glory before us, it has to be in the heart. We know that the children of Israel heard the message while they were in the land, but we know from Hebrews 4:2, but unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We hear that message, we hear that truth, it should help us to respond to that truth. And where is the hope? The hope is within the heart. And I want to close with this. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Where? In your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man, to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How do we have the hope ever before us? We are continuing to prepare every day to give an answer for the hope that's where? In the heart. That's where the circumcision of the heart takes place today. And for us to have the circumcision of the heart is to walk in the same faith of Abraham. And we know that the children of Israel, when they crossed through the Jordan River, circumcision didn't take place on the east side of the Jordan. It took place on the west side of the Jordan. Get away from the law with this truth. It happened in the land. And just like it happened in Egypt before they got into the wilderness. I tell you, it really is, I enjoyed seeing how the Lord put these things together to make sure that we don't associate circumcision with what? The law. We associate circumcision with faith and a walk of faith. And it has to do with our inheritance in the land flowing with milk and honey. Father, I just pray that you would help us to circumcise the foreskins of our hearts, that we might sanctify ourselves, sanctify you in our hearts, and be continually preparing to give an answer to those who would ask us of the hope. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.